Married at First Sight. Chapter 4153. Elora asked, "When is your sister-in-law due?" She didn't have a backup private chef. If Tatum took a few days off, she could manage, but if he needed an extended leave, she might not approve it. Serenity was pregnant. Elora had learned about the York family's situation through a close friend. As Tatum's sister-in-law, it was only natural for him to want to visit his nephew. "I'm not sure," Tatum replied. "I asked my eldest brother, and he estimated about 2 months. But it could be earlier or later, hard to say. I'll go back when she's in the hospital, and once she's discharged and resting at home, I'll return to work. Then, when the baby turns 1 month old, I'll definitely go back for 2 days. After all, he's my nephew, the first child of our York family's next generation." Elora considered his request before responding. "If you only need 2 or 3 days off, that's fine. But if it's longer than 3 days, I may not approve it. You know how picky I am, that's why I keep changing chefs. Right now, I'm very satisfied with you, and I've gotten used to your cooking. I can't stand the idea of you being away too long." She made a mental note to hire 2 more private chefs and rotate them in shifts. That way, if someone needed time off, she wouldn't be left without meals. Tatum reassured her, "It won't be more than 3 days. As the younger brother-in-law, I just need to visit my sister-in-law at the hospital. My eldest brother will take care of everything else. There's nothing for us to worry about. I mainly want to see the baby. Since Rowan's birth, there hasn't been a newborn in the York family for over 10 years. I really want to meet him. When he turns 1 month old, I'll go back for 2 days, just enough to greet the guests and then fly back to work the next afternoon." Tatum knew better than to take too much time off. His future wife was particular, and if he was gone too long, she might replace him with another chef. "Don't worry, miss. I've been teaching Andy and the others. They're professional chefs, and with my guidance, they can already prepare meals that meet your standards. While I'm away, Andy will take care of your meals and make sure you won't go hungry." Andy was the head chef for the Ormond family's main household. Since Elora rarely ate at home, Andy was usually in charge of the family's daily meals. However, ever since Tatum arrived, Andy's workload had significantly lightened. After working together for months, Tatum had come to understand Andy's personality: steady, humble, and always eager to improve. Andy often sought advice, and Tatum willingly guided him, not just him but any chef who asked. Tatum never worried about others surpassing him, because he learned from them too. Besides, anyone working for the Ormond family, even a gardener, had to go through rigorous background checks before being hired. People with questionable character simply couldn't make the cut. So, he wasn't worried about Andy taking his place. Elora's trust in him had deepened, especially after she learned his true identity. She had grown to appreciate him even more. She wanted to say that no matter how well Andy followed his recipes, it wouldn't be the same. His cooking had a personal touch, perhaps because her attitude toward him was different. But when the words reached her lips, she stopped herself. Instead, after a moment of thought, she said, "That's fine. When your nephew turns 1 month old, I'll see if I can adjust my schedule and squeeze in a trip to Wildspoon with you. I need to check out the market there anyway. And while I'm there, I'd like to visit your grandmother." A hint of admiration flashed in her eyes. "I've been growing more and more curious about her. I asked Rosie, and she said Grandma York is a legendary figure. I admire her greatly. When the time comes, I'll probably trouble you and your family." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4154. Chapter 4154. Tatum smiled knowingly. "Miss, if you come with me to my nephew's full moon banquet, my whole family will be overjoyed. They'll welcome you warmly." If Elora went with him, his family would see her as his future wife and treat her accordingly. But Tatum didn't say that out loud. He and Elora weren't at the stage where they could openly talk about love. That was fine. He wasn't in a hurry. He would take his time, warming her heart little by little, just like slowly heating water for a frog. Eventually, everything would fall into place naturally. Elora raised an eyebrow and teased, "Your sister-in-law hasn't even given birth yet, and you're already calling the baby your nephew? Are you all hoping for a boy? I heard from Rosie that your family elders are actually wishing for a girl." Tatum let out a small, bitter smile. "Miss Fowler has been to Wiltspoon, so she knows my family well. She also knows how much my elders want a granddaughter. To outsiders, the York family might seem untouchable, but for some reason, every woman who marries into our family ends up having sons. There hasn't been a daughter in 3 generations. My grandmother, my mother, and my aunt have spent their whole lives hoping for a girl, but it never happened." He sighed and continued, "Now, the pressure is on our generation. My grandmother says there are 9 of us grandsons, and we're all married. That means she has 9 granddaughters-in-law, so there's more hope than ever. She's counting on us to finally give her a great-granddaughter. But my eldest sister-in-law is almost certainly having a boy. The elders say her belly is pointed, and Sonny keeps calling the baby his little brother. So, I'm not even daring to hope for a niece. But whether it's a nephew or a niece, this baby is still the first of the next generation. That alone makes him special." Elora smiled. "If anyone in your family ever has a daughter, she's going to be treated like a princess." "Of course," Tatum agreed. "She'd be adored by everyone. I love soft, sweet little girls." His eyes lingered on Elora for a moment, filled with a quiet longing. As much as he liked the idea of a niece, what he really wanted was for he and Elora to have a daughter, one who was just as beautiful and charming as her mother. Elora came from a family with many daughters, the complete opposite of the Yorks. Maybe if he married her, they'd finally break the cycle. Maybe their daughter was just waiting for the right time to arrive. But first, he needed to win over his future wife. Thinking too far ahead wouldn't do him any good. Pulling himself back to reality, Tatum said, "If we don't get a niece, I just hope our nephews will all be as smart, sweet, and well-behaved as Sonny. I haven't seen him in a long time. I miss that little guy." Elora tilted her head curiously. "Who's Sonny?" Tatum chuckled. Elora was always so busy, she never kept track of all the names he mentioned. But he was patient. "Sonny is my eldest sister-in-law's nephew," he explained. "She helped raise him, and he still lives at my eldest brother's house. My brother and sister-in-law take care of him. He's an adorable, smart kid, charming, quick-witted, and so well-behaved. Everyone loves him. Miss, when you visit my family, you'll get to meet him. I guarantee you'll like him. He's a lot like Alonzo, just a couple of years younger." Tatum had a soft spot for Alonzo. It wasn't just because he was Elora's younger brother, but because he reminded him so much of Sonny, bright, well-mannered, and effortlessly lovable. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4155. Chapter 4155. Elora smiled. "Every time you talk about your family, I feel restless, like I need to see it for myself." She was too embarrassed to admit the thought that had crossed her mind more than once, "I'm even starting to imagine being part of your family." Tatum had always been good to her. Tinsley often teased her, saying that whenever Tatum looked at her, there was a light in his eyes that he was here for her. In a way, he was. But realistically, it was because of his cooking. Elora had high standards and wanted a private chef. That was why Tatum had come. At the end of the day, he was here for his craft. Still, there were moments when she caught him looking at her with an intensity that made her wonder. "Is he feeling something for me?" But she always brushed those thoughts aside. The reality was simple, their relationship was like that of a chef and his patron. Tatum was good to her because she was his boss. She had a refined palate and could critique his dishes, helping him refine his skills. He was a man who lived for cooking. Beyond that, he didn't seem to have any other major passions. After months of working together, all she truly knew about him was his dedication to the culinary arts. There was one more thing. Tatum came from a wealthy family, had been well educated since childhood, and carried himself with grace and discipline. He treated everyone with kindness, rarely lost his temper, and was the embodiment of sophistication. If not for the sheer distance between their families, Tatum would have been the perfect husband in Elora's eyes. What a shame. She sighed internally. The York family was in Wiltspoon, over 2,000 kilometers away from her home. Even by plane, it was a long trip. After landing, there was still a 1 to 2 hour car ride to the York estate. It was too far. Her responsibilities were too heavy. Her parents were aging, and her younger brother was still young. She couldn't marry that far away. She couldn't abandon everything she had worked so hard for, especially the family business. For years, she had fought to strengthen the Ormond family's empire, to stabilize it, to expand it. If she left, even if her younger sisters took over, there would be turmoil. And that was something she couldn't allow. Unless Tatum was willing to come to her instead. But that was unrealistic. The Yorks were an elite family, and Tatum, the sixth young master, was the younger brother of the family's head. Why would he ever leave all of that behind? Elora felt a pang in her heart but pushed it down. "Miss, my family will always welcome you," Tatum said, placing another dish on her plate. "Now, eat up before the food gets cold. It won't taste as good if it's not fresh." The office was heated, but without it, the meal would have gone cold long ago. The new year had passed, but Annenberg was still in the grip of winter. Tatum had overheard colleagues saying there would be another snowfall soon, a late spring chill. Even in Wiltspoon, cold air would sweep in after the new year, making things frigid for a while. "Okay." Elora shook off her wandering thoughts and focused on her meal. After dinner, Tatum cleared the dishes and took them to the bathroom to wash. He told her to rest, to wait half an hour before eating fruit, and to let her mind relax before the evening's business meetings. Elora walked to the window, gazing out at the world below. From the top floor of her office building, she had a perfect view of the bustling Annenberg skyline. It had been a long time since she'd taken a moment to appreciate it. Her days were a blur of early mornings and late nights, constant meetings, endless paperwork, and business negotiations. There was never enough time. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4156. Chapter 4156. Time had slipped away before she even realized it. It felt like just yesterday that she had taken over the family business. But in the blink of an eye, years had passed. When she first stepped in, no one believed she could handle the weight of the Ormond Empire. People underestimated her, waiting for her to fail. Many saw it as an opportunity to carve up the Ormond family's assets for themselves. Her parents had been too weak. After her grandparents passed away, they struggled to keep control. Under their watch, the family business declined, bleeding money. To make things worse, their so-called relatives from the extended family kept scheming, setting traps, exploiting her parents' naivete. Again and again, they were deceived. As the eldest daughter and granddaughter, Elora had no choice but to step up. In her teens, she built something of her own, carving out a reputation with sheer determination and force. Over time, she gained a foothold, stabilized the family's empire, and crushed every conspiracy her relatives tried to throw at her. Now, those same relatives avoided her like the plague. When they couldn't avoid her, they either scrambled to please her or faded into the background, hoping to go unnoticed. But many of them were still her parents' siblings, her aunts and uncles. She couldn't cut them off entirely, even if she wanted to. Her parents still insisted on maintaining ties. Take her mother, for example. Despite everything, she still visited her family. Even though her own brother had been one of those eager to profit from their downfall, she never turned her back on him completely. Elora couldn't bring herself to sever that connection either. Instead, she chose distance. She never visited her uncle's house during the holidays. And he understood. He never dared to ask why. Mrs. Ormond still had her place in her family, and that was enough. It kept the peace. Because at the end of the day, the Ormonds were now the most powerful force in Annenberg's business world. People watched Elora's every move. If her mother cut ties completely, her brother's businesses would struggle. They would become easy targets, crushed, bankrupted, and wiped out by opportunists circling like vultures. "Miss, have some fruit." Tatum's gentle voice pulled Elora from her thoughts. She blinked, suddenly aware that she had been standing at the window for half an hour. With a quiet exhale, she turned and walked back to her desk. Tatum had already set a plate of fresh fruit for her, complete with a disposable fork. After dinner, she never ate much fruit, just a little of everything. "Tatum, I need to handle a few documents before my meeting with clients. Go home and eat. Starting tomorrow, when you cook, make extra. We'll eat together, so you don't have to go hungry. You always say three proper meals a day are important for a healthy stomach. You've taken such good care of mine, I can't let yours suffer." Tatum's lips curved into a faint smile. "Okay. I couldn't ask for more." His voice was warm. "Thank you for your concern. It means a lot." His eyes softened as he looked at her. For a brief moment, something flickered between them. Elora met his gaze. She could see it. The emotion in his eyes. Her heart skipped a beat. But just as quickly, she pulled herself together. "You should go," she said, her tone steady. Tatum nodded and gathered his things. A moment later, he was gone. Elora watched him until the office door clicked shut behind him. Only then did she look away. But her mind stayed on the way he had looked at her. Deep in thought, she stared into the quiet space he had left behind. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4157. Chapter 4157. Jens Berg, Fortress Hotel. In a private room at the Fortress Hotel, Catherine and Liberty finalized their deal, then stood up and shook hands. Together, they escorted the client downstairs. Once the client got into the car and drove away, Catherine turned to Liberty. "Liberty, it's getting late. Mr. Lewis is still waiting for you inside. Go pick him up and head home early. The weather is freezing, and Mr. Lewis isn't used to Jensberg's cold. Walking is already difficult for him, he shouldn't be out in this weather." Duncan had caught a cold 3 days after arriving. He saw a doctor, took medicine, and was still dealing with a lingering cough. But Liberty didn't move. Instead, she asked Catherine, "Are they making their move tonight?" Catherine shrugged. "How would I know? They'll act when they feel ready. I just have to wait. But I think it'll be soon. I've already spread the word that Pedro will be away on a business trip for half a month." She didn't tell Liberty that her five brothers planned to strike that very night. She didn't want her to worry. Liberty studied Catherine for a long moment, then suddenly reached out and pinched her cheek. "Catherine," she said, "you can't lie to me. When you do, your eyes wander, and you can't hold eye contact." Catherine gently swatted Liberty's hand away and smiled. "That's called a guilty conscience. And Liberty, let's not forget I'm your aunt. Pinching my face like that? I'm not Sonny, you know. Sure, you're my aunt, but I'm only a few years younger than you," Liberty countered. Catherine's smile faded slightly. "You think my life has been easy? I wasn't raised in comfort. I was bullied, mistreated, and had to fight my way through everything. Compared to me, you had it better. You at least had your sister. I had no one. My adoptive parents and brother never treated me like family. No one ever did. Even after returning to her biological parents, only her mother truly accepted her. The rest of her family never saw her as one of their own. Marco had even told her outright she didn't treat them like siblings, and they had never seen her as a sister. At a young age, Catherine had learned a harsh truth: she couldn't rely on anyone but herself. For the first time, she had tasted what it was like to have someone to depend on. As the Farrell family's successor, her mother assigned her an assistant, and with Pedro by her side, she finally experienced a sense of security. "It's all in the past now," Liberty said gently. "We have a future ahead of us. Catherine, tell me, where do you think they'll strike first?" Before Catherine could respond, Liberty took her arm, walking her back inside. Two bodyguards followed at a short distance. With the client gone, their secretary had already been sent home. The day's work was done. "Liberty, trust me," Catherine said instead of answering the question. "If you make any moves too soon, they'll realize we've set a trap. And if they suspect anything, they won't take the bait." Liberty was quiet for a moment, then said, "Promise me you'll be safe. Not a single hair out of place." Catherine chuckled. "That's a tall order. How do you expect me to deal with them without taking a single hit?" Liberty didn't have an answer. Catherine had made one thing clear: if Marco and the others behaved, she wouldn't go after them. At most, she'd demote them, cut their salaries, and keep them out of management. They didn't deserve those high-paying positions anyway. But deep down, Catherine wasn't optimistic. She knew her brothers too well. They weren't the type to back down. Eventually, they'd push things too far, and when they did, Liberty wouldn't hold back. Their downfall was inevitable. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4158. Chapter 4158. Although Liberty still showed Catherine some respect, and they were in the middle of the transition period, she often had to consult Catherine on various matters. This plan was her way of protecting her three brothers at the very least, ensuring they could keep their homes, shops, and other properties. She didn't want them to lose everything. "Mr. Lewis is here. You should go." As they entered the hotel, they saw Duncan approaching slowly. His two bodyguards pushed a wheelchair behind him, walking at a measured pace. Guests coming and going cast curious glances at Duncan. The lobby manager stepped forward, offering to assist him, but Duncan politely declined. Liberty took a deep breath before turning to Catherine. "Call me if anything happens. I wish you good luck." "Thank you." Catherine smiled. "We'll both need it." Liberty walked toward Duncan. Catherine turned and headed out. "Duncan." Liberty stepped forward to support him. "Come on, let's go home." Duncan accepted her help, and they walked out together at a slow but steady pace. Duncan murmured, "Miss Farrell is gone." Liberty nodded. "She didn't say anything to me, but I'm sure it's happening tonight. Her three brothers left work on time and didn't stay late. They finished all the tasks assigned to them." Duncan spoke in a low voice. "They have a few helpers. Two of them are the brothers of the Farrell family's fake daughter." Liberty remained silent. Once they were in the car, she sighed. "Catherine is a good person, but she has very few people she can call family. Her adoptive parents treated her terribly, and even after reuniting with her biological parents, her father and three brothers never truly accepted her. If it weren't for the Farrell family's century-old rule of passing leadership to daughters instead of sons, even her biological mother, Clarissa, wouldn't have supported her. Clarissa had only come to value Catherine later when she saw no other way to secure her daughter's survival. She had wanted to send Catherine away, hoping to protect her. But that was because Clarissa was trapped by the family's rigid traditions. Catherine was her only legitimate heir, the only one who could inherit the Farrell family name. Shiloh, despite being raised and groomed for over 20 years, wasn't a blood relative. That disqualified her from taking over. Holden's three sons weren't fit for leadership either, and they also fell short of the family's strict inheritance rules. That left Catherine as the only choice. Had the Farrell family not had such traditions, Catherine wouldn't have mattered to them even after returning to her biological family. Their loyalty would have stayed with Shiloh. After all, Shiloh had spent over 20 years with them. She had been their daughter in every way that mattered except by blood. Catherine, on the other hand, had been a sudden addition to their lives. They never had a real bond with her. Even now, Holden and his son still longed for Shiloh. They might even be planning something against Catherine to avenge her. Shiloh's downfall wasn't Catherine's doing. But Catherine's return had cost Shiloh everything she once had. Blinded by resentment, Shiloh had repeatedly provoked Catherine, refusing to back down until she destroyed herself. And yes, Catherine had helped that downfall along. Liberty and her allies stood by Catherine, believing she had the moral high ground. But Marco and the others saw it differently. To them, Catherine was ruthless and cruel. At the end of the day, people's loyalties shape their sense of right and wrong. There's no true fairness in this world, just different perspectives. Duncan said, "She went through hell before she found happiness. But now, she will have a good life. Mr. Fraser loves her, and he always will. He's loyal to her, he'll never leave her. As for family, she let go of that a long time ago." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4159. Chapter 4159. Duncan held Liberty's hand. "Don't worry about her. Mr. Fraser is secretly protecting her. He won't let anything happen to her. You must be exhausted after a long day." He gently patted her shoulder. "Lean on me." Liberty smiled and rested her head on his shoulder. Immediately, his strong arm wrapped around her. "Duncan." "Yeah. I'm so lucky to have you. I finally have someone to rely on." For so long, Liberty had been the pillar of strength for her sister and son. But now, she had someone to lean on, too. Duncan's voice was filled with warmth. "It's even better to have you. You're my rock, my strength. Love, I thank God every day for bringing us together." They had met, gotten to know each other, fallen in love, and now they were building a life together. Liberty looked up at him. "Do you still remember the first time we met?" Duncan smiled. "How could I forget? You were pushing a stroller with Sunny in it, and you accidentally bumped into my car. My brand new car damaged on the first day. Then Zachary called to tell me that the person who hit my car was his wife's sister. For his sake, I only charged you a small fee for the repairs. His car had been insured, and the damages were covered. But still, having his brand new vehicle scratched had irritated him. Since Liberty insisted on paying, he let her. Back then, he hadn't thought much of her. The only one who had caught his interest was Sonny, though the little boy had been terrified of him at the time. He had thought Sonny was adorable, and Liberty had looked so flustered and apologetic that he hadn't had the heart to get angry." Liberty sat up straight and studied him. "So it was Zachary who called you?" Duncan nodded. Even though Zachary kept his identity hidden after the flash marriage, he did a lot for Serenity behind the scenes. He knew she cared about you and your son more than anything, so he treated you like family. "To be honest, when we first found out that Grandma York had forced Zachary into a flash marriage, none of us thought it would last. We never imagined Serenity would be the one to break through his icy walls. Now, look at them, so in love that people can't help but envy and hate them." Duncan squeezed her hand. "Love, I'll make sure you live a life that makes people envy and hate us, too." Liberty laughed. "I already do. Happily, she leaned against his shoulder again. Thinking back to the day she first met Duncan, she hadn't even been divorced yet. She had still been trapped in her miserable marriage to Hank, who had just proposed that they split all expenses equally. He had known she was out of touch with the workforce, that she hadn't worked in years, that all the money she had ever made had gone into decorating their wedding home. Yet, he had still expected her to pay her own way. Serenity had given her $5,000 a month, but Liberty had told Hank it was only $2,000, afraid he'd use it as an excuse to cut her off completely. Even so, he had turned it into an argument, claiming Serenity was freeloading off them. Hank had tossed every promise he'd ever made before marriage out the window. She could barely remember them anymore. When a man stops loving you, he can be truly heartless. Those days had been unbearable. Liberty rarely thought about them anymore. After she lost weight, she had rebuilt her life with Serenity and Zachary's support. She wouldn't call herself successful yet, but she had found happiness and that was enough. Her life had truly begun after the divorce. Duncan sighed. Forget the past. I shouldn't have even brought it up. He didn't need her to say anything. The moment she went quiet, he knew she was thinking about the pain Hank had caused her. Liberty shook her head with a soft smile. I've been at peace for a long time. She looked up at him, her eyes filled with gratitude. Honestly, I never thought I'd get to this point. Married at First Sight Chapter 4160. Chapter 4160. After the divorce, Liberty's life kept improving. Hank, on the other hand, spiraled downward. Though Zachary was the one pulling the strings behind the scenes, making sure Hank lost his job, no company dared to hire him. At first, Hank set his sights on joining Stone Group, hoping to climb the ranks there. Since Stone Group and York Corporation were longtime rivals, he figured he could build a name for himself and eventually use his position to take revenge on Zachary. But things didn't go as planned. No one had expected that Audrey, one of the most influential figures in Stone Group, would turn out to be Liberty and Serenity's long-lost aunt. Audrey had spent decades searching for her sister, only to find her two nieces instead. Overjoyed, she cherished them like her own daughters. Despite once being romantic rivals, Alisa and Serenity became close friends. Instead of fighting over Zachary, they formed a bond as strong as real sisters. Alisa even let go of her longtime feelings for Zachary and eventually found her own happiness. With Audrey's protection and Alisa's friendship, Hank's plan to infiltrate Stone Group completely fell apart. Without that option, he had nowhere else to turn. In Wildspoon, aside from Stone Group, no other company was bold enough to go against York Corporation. Most businesses steered clear of any conflict with them. With no job prospects, Hank was left with no choice but to drive for a ride-hailing service just to make ends meet. Meanwhile, Liberty was thriving. Compared to her ex-husband's downfall, her life felt like pure bliss. Duncan leaned in and kissed her cheek. Things will only keep getting better for us. Liberty smiled. Yes, they would. I'm going to call Sonny. She pulled out her phone, thinking about her son. I usually get home late, but tonight I can leave early. Sonny should still be awake. We can have a nice, long chat. Duncan chuckled. That kid gave me an earful. He scolded me for not telling him I was coming to Jensburg. I told him it was for work, but he didn't believe me. He's smart. Even a fool wouldn't buy that excuse, and Sonny is no fool. Liberty started a video call, and Serenity answered. Hey, sis, Serenity greeted her with a smile. You're home early tonight, no social events. I just left the hotel. Since I had some free time, I figured I'd call Sonny before he went to bed. Most nights, I'm so busy that when he calls, it's already late. I don't want to keep him up and affect his school routine, so I usually just tell him to rest. Serenity noticed Liberty was in the car and sitting next to her was Duncan. She said, "Sonny's still downstairs playing chess with Dad." Sonny had recently learned chess. He didn't fully understand the game yet, but that didn't stop him from challenging Zachary's father. Liberty asked, "Uncle York didn't go out?" Serenity shook her head. "Grandma took my mother-in-law and two aunts to visit Jane. They're planning to stay there until after I give birth. Dad got bored being home alone, so he came to stay with us for a while. Now, he takes Sonny to and from kindergarten, helps him with homework, supervises his calligraphy and piano practice, plays chess with him, and even takes him to the gym. He says having Sonny around keeps him entertained. Hang on, sis, I'll go downstairs and let you talk to him." As Serenity spoke, she left her room and started walking downstairs. Liberty, still on the phone, reminded her, "Take your time. Don't rush. Be careful on the stairs." As Serenity got up, Liberty caught a glimpse of her belly. It had grown noticeably larger. "Sis, I'm not a kid anymore," Serenity said, amused. Liberty smiled. "No matter how old you are, you'll always be my little sister." Even though Serenity was already a grown woman, to Liberty, she was still the baby sister she had always protected, the one who was 5 years younger but forever precious in her heart. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4161. Chapter 4161. Serenity was still on the stairs when she called out to her nephew downstairs, "Sonny, your mom's on the phone." Sonny was deep in a chess match with Liam, completely focused on the game. His skills weren't quite on par with Grandpa York's, but every now and then, Grandpa York would let him win a few moves. Most of the time, though, Sonny lost. Still, he never gave up. Liam noticed that after every loss, Sonny adjusted his strategy, learned from his mistakes, and refined his approach. The kid was adaptable. Very smart. Liam figured that's why the whole family adored Sonny. He was intelligent, eager to learn, and incredibly well behaved. With Serenity about to give birth, Liam couldn't help but wonder if his eldest grandson, Zachary's baby, turned out as lovable as Sonny, he wouldn't mind having even more grandkids. Sonny finally said, "Grandpa York, let's pause the game. I'll be back after I talk to Mom." Liam chuckled. "Sonny, it's almost bedtime. You have kindergarten tomorrow. Let's continue tomorrow evening. I promise I won't touch the chessboard. We'll pick up right where we left off when you get home from school." Sonny had no objections. He jumped up excitedly and ran over to Serenity. Taking the phone from her, he beamed when he saw his mother on the screen. "Mom, you're off work early today." Liberty smiled. "I'm in the car. Now, do you think I'm on my way to meet clients or heading home?" Sonny's eyes lit up. "Mom, have you moved into the new house yet? Is it really big? Bigger than our place now? Is it as big as Uncle Zachary's house? When are you coming back to take me there? I can't wait to see it." He fired off questions like a machine gun, barely stopping to breathe. Before Liberty could respond, he continued, "Where's Uncle Duncan? Is he scared to see me? He always sneaks off to be with you and never waits for my school holidays to take me along. I know what's up. Uncle Duncan thinks I'm a third wheel. He just wants to be with you, so he doesn't bring me." Sitting beside Liberty, Duncan broke into a nervous sweat. Leaning closer so Sonny could see him, he quickly explained, "Sonny, I don't think you're a third wheel. I never have. I really came to Jensburg for work. I had business here, so I just happened to visit your mom while I was at it. You're still in school, and you only get weekends off, so it wasn't convenient to bring you this time. But when the May Day holiday comes, I'll come back to pick you up. We'll spend the holiday together with your mom." Sonny pouted. "But during the May Day holiday, Aunt Serenity's having her baby. Mom said she's coming back to be with her. What am I supposed to do? Even though Sonny was little, he paid close attention to what the adults said. Everyone kept talking about how his aunt was due in 2 months. And May Day was exactly 2 months away. His mom had promised to come back and be with Aunt Serenity when the baby arrived. Sonny wanted to be there too. He was going to be a big brother, after all. He had been talking to the baby in Aunt Serenity's belly every day, and when the baby was finally born, he wanted to be the first one to hold him. Zachary, however, had other thoughts. Zachary, absolutely not. Step aside, kid. I'm the father, I should be the first to hold my baby. The newborn would be so tiny and fragile, Zachary wouldn't dare let Sonny hold him first. The little guy was still just a child himself. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4162. Chapter 4162. Sonny still needed someone to take care of him. Duncan added, then during summer break you'll have 2 whole months off. You can stay for the entire vacation. And once you graduate from kindergarten and transfer to an elementary school in Jensburg, you'll see your mom every day. My business will also be moving there, so our family of 3 will finally be together. Lewis Group already had business in Jensburg, though not a large presence. Since Liberty would be settling there long term, Duncan had increased his investment in the city, developing new markets. As president, he needed to oversee things personally, making it the perfect opportunity to stay in Jensburg and be with his wife and child. Sonny pouted. Okay. Then his attention snapped back to Liberty. Mom, you still haven't answered my question. Liberty chuckled. I'm taking it easy tonight, no late night meetings or events. I'm already on my way home. It's getting late for you too, so I wanted to call before you went to bed. Sonny, do you miss me? Because I miss you so much. I do, Mom. I miss you a lot. Sonny then added excitedly, Mom, when you get home, can you take a video of our new house and send it to Aunt Serenity's phone? I want to see it. Serenity had already told him that Liberty was no longer staying in a hotel, she had moved into their new home in Jensburg. She also mentioned that the house was huge, with plenty of space to run and play. Sonny wouldn't feel bored, even if he played by himself. Now, he couldn't wait to visit. He even planned to invite Titus over during summer vacation. Since the new house was big enough, his friend could finally stay with him. Whenever Sonny visited Titus, he always stayed at Titus's place, but when Titus came over, he had to stay at a hotel. Sonny had always felt bad about that, it didn't seem hospitable enough. Now, with multiple homes and plenty of rooms, he could finally host his friends properly. Sonny had thought it all through. Liberty smiled. All right, tomorrow morning, when I go for my run, I'll take a video of the yard for you. Have you finished your homework? I also have to practice calligraphy, piano, and martial arts, I can't slack off. Sonny added proudly, Mom, it's already late. How could I not be done with my homework? That little bit of work takes me no time at all. I was just playing chess with Grandpa York. Liberty asked, So, did you win? Sonny's face turned slightly red. Embarrassed, he admitted, No. I lose to Grandpa York every time. He's just too good. But even though I lose, I learn from him. That's why I always win when I play against other kids. He couldn't help but puff out his chest, feeling proud again. Liam, who had been listening to Sonny's conversation, chuckled and turned to Serenity. So that's why Sonny has been pestering me to play chess lately. He's secretly trying to learn my strategies. Serenity laughed. He's still young, Dad. Even if he studies chess for years, he won't reach your level. Liam shook his head. That's not necessarily true. I don't play often, so I'm not that sharp. But Sonny, he's bright and determined. he learns from his losses and keeps improving. Give him time, and he'll be a real master. Aside from martial arts, which didn't come as naturally to him, Sonny was far ahead of other kids his age in many areas. He was a gifted child. With the right guidance, he could grow into a rising star in the business world of Dongguan City within the next decade. Serenity gently stroked Sonny's hair, pulling him into her arms. She sat down, letting him nestle against her as they continued the call. It also made it easier for her to talk to Liberty. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4163. Chapter 4163. Liberty was still on the phone with Sonny. The mother and son had endless things to talk about. Meanwhile, Catherine hadn't gone home yet. After parting ways with Liberty, she had said she was heading back, but instead, she went shopping. It was still early. The roads were packed with cars. Even a fool wouldn't choose to make a move at a time like this. To align with her brother's plan, she had no choice but to kill time, shopping until late at night just long enough for Marco and his men to set their trap. Pedro had sent her a message. Her two adopted brothers and two biological brothers were lying in wait along her route home. As soon as she got near, they would ram her car. If she died on the spot, that would be ideal. If not, they would kidnap her and take her to an undeveloped coastal area, where Marco was waiting. Their plan was simple: kill her, chop up her body, and toss the remains into the sea. Let the big fish take care of the rest. Cold-blooded. Family meant nothing to them. As for her so-called brothers and sisters? Let them rot in prison. They wouldn't be getting out to hurt anyone again. Pedro had assured her that once they were locked up, they would be handled by other inmates. If she wanted them gone permanently, that could be arranged too. Catherine hadn't responded. She wanted to wait until the night played out before making a decision. If, at the last moment, her brothers hesitated, if they showed even the slightest mercy, then she would do the same. But if they stayed on their dark path, she would let them go to prison and die there. For now, she continued shopping with her bodyguards. She picked out new clothes for herself, then bought a few for Pedro. Afterward, she stopped by a jewelry store, swiping her card for some expensive pieces. She also picked up ties and a luxury watch for Pedro. When he completed his mission and returned to her openly, she would give him the gifts. He would be thrilled. Pedro's love for her was deeper than her feelings for him. She could give him the smallest gift, and he would be happy for days, walking around like he was floating on air. Catherine took her time browsing, but somehow, time wasn't moving as slowly as she thought. When she stepped out of the jewelry store and checked the time, it was only a little after 9. She frowned. How is it only 9 o'clock? It felt like I was shopping forever. The streets were still bustling. For many, the night was just beginning. One of her bodyguards chuckled. Young ladies like you always go straight into a store, buy a bunch of stuff, and leave in a flash. Then you move on to the next store and do it all over again. Quick decisions, fast purchases, no hesitation, no bargaining. Of course, it doesn't take long. Catherine was speechless. She was used to it. With her busy schedule, she never wasted time browsing. If she wanted something, she went straight to the store, bought it, and left. In. Out. Done. How do other people shop all night? I admire them for having that kind of patience. She had already bought clothes and jewelry, but now, she had no idea what else to get. She didn't need anything. Everything she bought tonight was just a way to pass the time. Eventually, she and her bodyguard stopped at a coffee shop. She ordered a coffee for each of them and one for herself. Tonight was going to be long. She needed to stay alert. Catherine stayed at the cafe until 11, then finally left with her bodyguards. She could feel it. Someone was following her. They had been tailing her all night. Her bodyguards had noticed too, but she gestured for them to stay quiet. No need to spook the enemy. She didn't have to ask, she already knew. Marco's men were closing in. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4164. Chapter 4164. Marco and his two brothers finished their work early. Since they no longer had to work overtime or attend social events, their evenings were now completely free. As soon as Catherine got into the car, her phone rang. It was Erica. She answered. "Sister-in-law," Erica said. "Erica, you're not my sister-in-law anymore. Just call me sister," Erica corrected gently. Catherine immediately adjusted. "Sister, why are you calling so late? Can't sleep? Are my nieces and nephews behaving? Now that school has started, they must be back in class. You must be able to relax a little." After the divorce, Erica had taken her children back to her parents' house. However, during the new year, she moved out with them into a townhouse she owned. It wasn't as grand as the villa she once lived in, but at least it was her own home. Catherine had expected this move. In many places, divorced daughters weren't allowed to spend the new year at their parents' home. Even married daughters weren't always welcome back for the holiday, as old customs claimed it would bring bad luck to their brothers. It wasn't that Erica's family treated her poorly. Before her divorce, their connection to the Farrell family had brought them many business benefits. Whenever Erica visited, her parents and brothers treated her well. But things had changed. The Farrell family had undergone a major shift, and Catherine was no longer set to inherit everything. Now, the two families weren't just no longer in-laws, they were practically enemies. Catherine sighed internally. People could be so fickle. "Yeah, now that school started, things are much easier," Erica said. "Catherine, where are you? Are you home yet?" "I had a business meeting this afternoon and dinner with a client in the evening," Catherine replied. "No social events tonight, so I went shopping for a bit. I just got in the car and was about to head home." Hearing this, Erica's voice turned urgent. "Catherine, don't go home. Go back to the company." "No, actually, don't stay at the company either. Go to the Fortress Hotel, or any hotel under the Queen family's name. Just don't go home, and don't stay at the office alone." Catherine frowned. Did Erica know something? "Sister, why? Did you hear something?" "I didn't hear much, but I went to see Dad tonight, and something felt off," Erica admitted. "He kept making phone calls behind my back. I overheard bits and pieces. It sounded like Marco was planning to kidnap you or something. I wasn't sure, and I didn't dare call you from his house, so I rushed out. I tried calling you earlier, but you were on the phone every time. When I couldn't reach you, I thought you were still working late at the company. I even drove there, but the security guard said you hadn't returned since the afternoon." Catherine hesitated. "Sister, you must have misheard. My relationship with my eldest brother isn't great, but he wouldn't go that far. We're still family. Why would he kidnap me? I was on the phone earlier handling work for tomorrow, which is why my line was busy." "Catherine, you need to be careful," Erica insisted. "After your mother passed, she left behind a huge fortune. Your brothers barely got anything. They might be desperate enough to kidnap you and force you to hand it over. Do you really think they wouldn't? They've never treated you like their sister. Just listen to me, don't go home." Catherine remained silent for a moment. In truth, she had been waiting for tonight. She couldn't back out now.